Looking in the rearview mirror, this was a big week. President Trump pulling out of a nuclear agreement with Iran, welcoming home American detainees from North Korea, and setting a date and location for an historic summit with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un about his nuclear weapons program. At a rally in Indiana last night, Trump claimed America is respected again.
We are all making America proud. We are rocking. We are rocking.
But it was also a week when questions continued to swirl about Trump's financial ties to his fixer, Michael Cohen, and a Trump staffer made a repugnant remark about Senator John McCain. Let's bring in our Friday roundtable. Joining us from opposite ends of Pennsylvania Avenue today, Chad Pergram, who covers Congress for Fox News. Hi, Chad.
Always good to be with you guys.
And Ayesha Rascoe, who covers the White House for NPR. Hi, Ayesha.
Hello.
So let's start with foreign policy, a big foreign policy week for President Trump, breaking with allies, pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal, bringing home those detained Americans from North Korea and setting that date and location, Singapore, for a historic summit. Chad, Trump supporters want him to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, you know, I was struck by on the Iran deal how you had obviously Republicans didn't like this, but you had people like Ed Royce, the chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, indicating that, hey, this was a good move. You had Chuck Schumer, who opposed the deal in 2015, though, saying that this was the wrong move. He said Iran hasn't broken any of the strictures of the deal. And so he thought that this was a mistake, saying there's nothing to back it up. And one of the issues that we put to lawmakers here, Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, hinted at maybe there would have to be some legislation. There was a legislative framework that was developed for the Iran deal. It was not handled as a treaty, as under the Constitution, where you need two-thirds, and maybe they have to put something in place. That was something that Chuck Schumer was critical of, saying there's nothing there. And some other senators from both parties said maybe we do need legislation, because if President Trump leaves and he wants the Iran deal to stay in this status, you know, the idea that it's off, you know, we're going to go, drum up a new agreement with them or nothing at all. He said, you know, there's nothing that binds any other administration to this.
Well, and Ayesha, I want you to bring you in, because what about this feeling that this was a huge week, at least for Donald Trump and his supporters? I mean, people may debate what's going to happen because of the pullout from the Iran deal, but certainly it was a huge week for him with his base.
It definitely was, and it was a week that President Trump can point to where he really, if he hadn't already, really took charge of foreign policy and was making decisions that are going to have long-lasting impact. So he kept his promise. He had said that he was going to dismantle the Iran nuclear deal, and by pulling out and reimposing sanctions, he took a major step towards that. And then when it comes to North Korea, he setting this meeting, setting the time and place, getting these detainees back, that is something that makes President Trump look like a statesman.
Sure.
Looks like a diplomat and someone who is getting things done.
Yeah, and it was a big week in the sense that the president got the Senate nominee that he wanted in West Virginia. He didn't want Don Blankenship.
Right.
That was the one thing for sure that he didn't want.
He said so.
Against Joe Manchin. Yeah. As we speak, he is meeting with auto executives at the White House, and central to that conversation is maybe withdrawing from NAFTA and dealing with making more cars in the United States. And then, as you mentioned, there were the foreign policy issues. So this was a pretty successful week.
Yeah, but as we look up at the TV channels, at the cable news, all we're seeing is John McCain's daughter talking about the comments that came out. And it just this does seem to be a pattern with this White House, that there might be accomplishments, but they are then wiped out by something like Kelly Sadler, who's the White House staffer, who and she's an aide to Chief of Staff John Kelly, who made that comment in a staff meeting yesterday after John McCain criticized Trump's pick to lead the CIA. This is Gina Haspel, who's been having these hearings. She has not called torture immoral in her confirmation hearing. He, of course, was tortured, said he wouldn't vote for her. Kelly Sadler, the White House staffer, said his vote doesn't matter because he's dying anyway. And here's McCain's daughter, Meghan McCain, responding this morning on ABC's The View.
Whatever you want to say in this kind of environment, the thing that surprises me most is I don't understand what kind of environment you're working in when that would be acceptable, and then you can come to work the next day and still have a job.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about it.
Chad Pergram, how is it that Kelly Sadler still has her job and the White House has not issued any kind of apology?
Well, you know, this is the argument that President Trump has had with John McCain. You know, he kind of, touched this off several years ago, saying that, he liked people who weren't captured. And the fact that, you know, there have been other missteps, intemperate language said on Capitol Hill, by the White House. And I'm surprised. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, so are you saying the fish rots from the head, which is what people are saying, that comments like this are made because of the president?
And at the end of the day, you know, this comes amid the initiative by Melania Trump, you know, talking to children about being
be best
on social media. Those two things fly in the face of one another. I would also point out that it's very interesting that there has been no conversation here on Capitol Hill, not a single statement that I've seen from any member of Congress upbraiding the White House or defending John McCain since that statement was released last night. And the other thing I would note is that it's amazing that John McCain has not voted since early December. He hasn't been in Washington since then, and he has cast such a long shadow. This influential statement that he put out the other night saying he wouldn't vote for Gina Haspel based on her record dealing with interrogation methods. The fact that other senators have said that they will consider that as they weigh their vote. And the fact that this has come up now, you know, with Kelly South at the White House. It's amazing just the influence that John McCain has when he's not here.
Mm. Well, John McCain's wife, Cindy McCain, responded to Sadler's comments on Twitter and also to an interview that happened on Fox Business yesterday. Former Fox News military analyst Thomas McInerney said this about Haspel and torture yesterday.
Well, she can't use it anymore because we've determined the Congress that it's not legal. The fact is John McCain, it worked on John. That's why they call him Songbird John.
Oh,
now, the host of that segment, Fox Business host Charles Payne, apologized. He said he didn't hear McInerney. But Aisha, this goes back years within the GOP, this... But they have a problem with John McCain.
Well, and by the way, this is not true. The reason he was in prison for so long is that he didn't sing. Who wants to take that?
Well, I think that this issue for the White House certainly at this point is a distraction. And I do think, although this White House has a policy almost not to apologize for anything, I think that this is a point where maybe they will have to kind of take a step back and actually own this and do something about it. I'm not sure. We'll see what happens. But it just seems like at this point, when you have someone who is sick, why have this hanging over what was otherwise a positive week for this White House?
And we will see next week. President Trump, I have confirmed since we have been on the air, is going to come here on Tuesday and meet with Senate Republicans. They usually have their usual Republican lunch here on Capitol Hill next Tuesday. And we've confirmed that President Trump is going to come up here, and we'll see if this is an issue that's still lingering come next Tuesday.
Huh. Anything else you hear, Chad, by the way?
Just feel free to bring it up.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's talk about Michael Cohen, by the way. Today, the CEO of AT&T said it was a big mistake to hire Trump fixer Michael Cohen as a political consultant, but insists the company did nothing illegal. Yesterday, Novartis' CEO said the same thing. This was money that Cohen put into the same company that he used to pay porn star Stormy Daniels to keep quiet about an alleged affair with President Trump. He also accepted money from a company connected to a Russian oligarch. Aisha, is this how business is done in Washington, or where do you see this going?
For me, I didn't know this was the way business was done. We know about lobbyists, but Michael Cohen wasn't a lobbyist, and he, as far as we know, doesn't have any policy experience or even really much political experience. But he did have a connection to the president and apparently was getting money from companies because of that. And we don't really know exactly what he was offering or what they expected to get from him. It doesn't appear that at this point that anything that was done was illegal. But just politically, when you have a president who said he was going to drain the swamp, coming in and having someone, his longtime personal attorney, accepting money from companies, that does seem to run counter to this idea that you're dealing with corruption. Yeah. And I think that usually one thing that Americans don't like about politics is this idea of pay to play.
Right.
And this is a perfect example of pay to play.
Well, look, we just got about a minute and a half. And so I want to ask about Republican commentary. George Will's comments this week about the president and the vice president. He wrote an op-ed piece concluding with, "Trump is what he is, a floundering, inarticulate jumble of gnawing insecurities and not at all compensating vanities, which is pathetic. Pence is what he has chosen to be, which is horrifying because of his obsequiousness." Chad, what does this reflect about the Republican Party?
Well, you know, the Republican Party started to drift away from those core Reagan values that we often heard so much about a long time ago. And this stems back to the shadow of John McCain. He picked Sarah Palin as his vice presidential running mate in 2008. And a lot of the energy that was composed in the Tea Party that has, you know, drifted over into the energy that is surrounded with President Trump, it goes back to that. I mean, Sarah Palin was kind of the person, you know, who gave rise to and said oftentimes intemperate things. I mean, this there is a connection here in that regard.
You're so right. It started there, the two halves that could not fit together. That's Chad Pergram, Capitol Hill senior producer for Fox News. Ayesha Rascoe, White House reporter for NPR. Thank you, both of you, for this look back at this incredible week. Thank you.
Anytime.
Thank you.